Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yours truly is lucky enough to be talking to one of my favorite people. I thought he was an outstanding coach on both the NFL level, and he's doing it again on the college level. I got a bunch of things I want to run by him. Coach Herman Edwards joins me here on CBS Sports Radio. How was your year, Coach?
Boy, I tell you what now. This was one for the ages, I think, for any student athlete, any coach, regardless of the sport. And the medical professionals, the navigation through all of this and where we're at right now when you think about these two teams that are going to play in the national championship game, I applaud all those for going through this. There was no game plan for anyone. We all had different plans in the beginning, but some kind of way we got through it, and you have two outstanding teams that are going to play tomorrow night.
What was the most difficult thing about your job as head coach of Arizona? Pac-12 at first said they didn't think they were going to get a season in. Then a couple other conferences decided they were going to give it a go. They were the Pac-12 was the last one to jump aboard and say, all right, we'll play a season. It's going to be a shorter season, a smaller season, but we're going to give it a go. What was, when the decision was made to actually have a season, what was the toughest thing you had to handle all year?
Well, it was the players and the coaching staff, obviously. You train all year to prepare yourself for football. It's a funny sport. I've always said you practice more than you play, and you can think about when it shut down for all of us in March. We were just getting through spring football, and we never anticipated that it would run into the season where some conferences were postponed, some were canceled all together. Some went at different times, but I just think the uncertainty of it all, and just to try to keep the players and the coaches motivated to know that eventually we were going to play, but even with us starting to play, we knew there was going to be some stoppage. Everyone's playing against an opponent they can't see, and that's a difficult task.
We're talking to Herman Edwards here with us on CBS Sports Radio, who's Arizona Sun Devils this year. Arizona State went 2 wins. 2 losses, and unfortunately, 2 cancellations. So it was a difficult season when the results were in and over and done with. What was the thing that you learned most about? Did you took something out of the way that you had to deal with it this year, and whether it's because COVID is still as big a part of the upcoming season, the next season, as it's going to be, or maybe not, but it's something that you learned that you can incorporate into your coaching going forward?
Well, I think the ability to adjust and to not get emotionally drained from circumstances that you can't control. And I thought the players handled it pretty well. I've always been a pretty calm guy when it comes to, you have a plan. Coaches are planners. You start planning a year out on what you anticipate doing as far as practice schedules. I'm doing that right now, trying to figure out what the spring ball is going to start and the weightlifting is going to start, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden you look at it and it goes, no, you can't start now. And so I just think your ability to adjust, I've always said this in life and in football, a plan that can't be changed is a bad plan. So never do it in pencil on the first draft. Do it in pen. Do it in pencil, not in pen.
Right. I know exactly what you're talking about. Coach, after the season came and went, and you did end up 2-2-2 with 2 cancellations, a frustrating year for your players and yourself, was it worth doing in your estimation?
Absolutely. It was worth it. And I think you find out a lot about people when you go through something like this. And, for young people, you think about their college careers. Most of them are going to have a college career. 2% are going to have the ability to play on Sunday. So when you think about missing a college career as a student athlete, not be able to socialize normally because of the virus, all those things these young people had to deal with, and to play gave them hope. They look forward to this, and we all look forward to this. Look, the fan base that watches football in America, this is the number one sport. We all know it. Whether you're a college fan or pro fan, we like watching football. And when that's taken away from you, that's a blow to everyone. And I'm glad we found a way to get it done.
All right, Coach, I do want to ask you about the championship game. Top four teams made the playoffs, had the semifinals last week. We now know it's Ohio State and Alabama for the championship on Monday night. You didn't get a chance to play against either of these two teams, but you surely know both of these two programs, and I'm sure you've watched plenty of their action on TV. Are these the two best teams facing off this year?
Well, when you think about the gauntlet of what they had to go through, yeah. Now, someone will say that, well, Ohio State 7-0, Alabama 12-0. I do know this. This is an interesting game for a lot of reasons. One being, when you think about where football has gone, you know, it used to be back 10, 15 years ago, you'd sit there and it's 24 to 17 score, you'd be enjoying it. Well, hold on to your hat tomorrow, because both these teams are scoring well over 40 points. Alabama's average is about 48, and Ohio State's average about 43. As we know, Ohio State has a dynamic quarterback in Justin Fields, and what a yeoman's effort he put on. You know, due to his ribs, come back, throw all those touchdown passes and get them into this game. Alabama has probably been the most consistent football team this whole year. They got 12 games in. Their quarterback, obviously, very, very accurate. Has thrown 37. When you say 37 touchdown passes and you say Nick Saban, it doesn't even sound right, does it?
It doesn't, but Mac Jones has had that kind of year, and I thought he was actually going to get the Heisman, lost out to his teammate, who had a phenomenal season in Devonta Smith. You mentioned the number of games played, and as I mentioned, you guys only got four in Pac-12. The Big Ten had almost as many issues. They started just before you, but Ohio State added to their number by winning the conference championship game and then the semifinal game, but they have played significantly less than Alabama. From a coach's perspective, assuming health on both sides, and I know that's in a vacuum, so I'm asking you to go there for me, but assuming everybody's got all their players on both sides, would you rather be coaching a team that's played 12 games that has to play their 13th, or a team that's only played 7? Because I could make an argument either way.
No, you can. And I think, and that's great for debate. That's great for shows that you have, and that's why your show's so popular. You know the right questions to ask to get the viewers to call in, right?
Try.
It's always going to be a debatable question. I do know this. You have two outstanding football teams with great players on both sides of the ball. Can't say enough about Coach Saban, what he's been able to accomplish there at Alabama, and obviously at Ohio State. Coach has done a marvelous job there as well. So I just think I don't get caught up in how many games they played. I think they're all well coached. These players from both squads are excited about playing tomorrow night. I'm very excited about being involved in the broadcast of that as well. I'm going to work with two officials, and we're going to get to talk about the game and just kind of look how it's played through an official's eyes or through a coach's eyes. So that's going to be a nice little thing that I'm going to get to do tomorrow night when I watch the game.
I apologize for not knowing that was the case. Give me your exact role in who you're working for and what you're going to be doing and exactly what they're looking for you to contribute.
Well, ESPN, and I'm going to work with two officials, you know, one out of the NFL, head lines guy, and one out of the SEC. And they've done this before. These podcasts seem like similar deals where they have some coaches at the round table. I did that 2 years ago, but now I'm working with two officials. So going to be a lot of conversation of how the game is being called, but how it's being played, what officials do during the course of the game, what a head coach kind of does through the course of the game. So I think for a fan, you're going to kind of see through the lens of the officials, how they look at it. Obviously, the obvious foul is one thing, but maybe some other things that they don't quite see. And then from the coach's perspective, you know, the conversations you have with officials and kind of your mindset of how the game is being played.
Herman Edwards, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. That sounds fun. I'm going to have to make sure I find you wherever you're at on Monday night and tune in.
Platforms. You know, they got all these platforms out
there
now.
Yes, platforms aplenty. Yes, and Herman will be on one with the officials. Then let me ask you, and this will probably come out over the course of your broadcast, comparing college football officials to NFL officials. You've had to deal with both as a coach, formerly as a player. I know it's a whole bunch of years ago when you played college football, but as an NFL player, not as far back, but same thing. Yeah. Today's officials, NFL, college football, what's the difference?
I don't know. The rule, there's a few different rules, but other than that, I don't know if there's that much. I do know this. Probably the speed of the game is much different for a college official than rather for an NFL official. Now, I say that, but then you watch these two teams tonight. Both these two teams have NFL quality players on both sides of the ball. So this will be a very fast game. I think this, the quarterback in college football, because they have more of them, poses a problem because of the RPO game and their ability to run the ball. And how do you protect the quarterback? In the NFL, they protect the quarterback. That's the number one issue. Protect the quarterback, right? So I just think, you know, I've always said this about officials. They never have a home game.
True.
No matter what stadium they walk in, they never have a home game. And the crowd lets them know how they feel during the course of the game.
Well, and we're not getting much crowds. Today, the early NFL playoff game, I think they said they have 15,000 in Tennessee, so it's not as boisterous as it.
You say that, but you know what's funny? And we played those games with no fans. It's kind of interesting, and I'm watching NFL games too. It's like even though they have the false fans in the back with the through the intercoms and stuff, even when the official makes a call and they're at home and it doesn't go for the home team, they're getting booed.
That's true. Yeah, they have the piped-in booing for the referees. They can't win. Along those lines, last official question, then I want to move on to the NFL with you. First touchdown in today's game. Were you watching the Ravens in Tennessee game before you hopped on with me?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Did Brown push off on that touchdown? That looked a blatant pass interference to me, offensive pass interference, and they just let that one slide.
Now you see, now you're talking to a former corner, right?
Yes. I know who I'm asking.
So, no, I do know this. When you start getting hand play, and there's hand play was involved in that play, corner turned into the chest of the wide receiver, and that part of it, he turned the correct way. And the way they officiate that is, did someone gain an advantage? That's how they look at that. Did someone gain an advantage? And I think the way they looked at it, no one gained an advantage.
Oh.
The corner was in a tough spot. In my opinion, he would have been in a better spot if he was outside leverage because they could never throw the ball to the field. He got caught inside due to the fact that the formation put him inside a little bit. If he'd have worked outside of that wide receiver, he would have been in better position. But that wasn't the case. And so they're not going to call that. I mean, if there was a push or extended arm, they might call it.
Oh,
but it was one of those plays, no one gained advantage, and so they're going to let it go.
I absolutely saw a push, and the D-back ended up on his rump. If that's not gaining an advantage, I don't know what is.
Well, no. I think what happened was, it's just the way I looked at it, is that when the receiver went back to catch the ball, when he put his hands up to catch it, he never extended his arms to go catch the ball. Now, he's a big, strong, powerful guy, too. Now, understand that. That receiver's about 6'4". He weighs about 215, 220. And that's a tough matchup for a corner. It's like covering a tight end. And so he fell down, and I think when he fell down, people felt, did the receiver push him down? I don't think he pushed him down at all.
Go back and watch that one again.
And I say this is a former corner now. I say this is a corner now. Come on now.
I think you're doing an injustice to your fellow corner on that particular play, but that's just me. Herman Edwards here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right. One of the reasons why I thought to get you on this week was because I do shows in Philadelphia as well, your old town where you played with the Eagles, and have a good standing relationship with the organization. Still, a lot of people chiming in about the fact that the Eagles might not have put their best foot forward in Week 17. They decided to pull their starting quarterback in the second half and put their backup, Nate Sudfeld, in. And a lot of speculation that the Eagles weren't giving their best effort to try and win the game. And it could be advantageous. It ends up they will now draft sixth rather than ninth because they lost that game. And New York Giant fans were all up in arms because they thought the Eagles kind of rolled over in that game. The line, "you play to win the game," immediately came to mind for me. And I don't know if they did or didn't tank. I don't know if Doug Peterson, although he said he made the decision to put Nate Sudfeld in the game, wasn't influenced by anybody else. I don't know if that's true or not. Could you ever do something like that, Coach? If you were either advised or dictated to that we don't necessarily need to win this game, it could actually be better for us if we don't win this game, could you make moves to do something like that, or would you have to go, wait a minute, you play to win the game?
No, I think that let me, Coach Peterson has done an outstanding job there. They've won a Super Bowl and they had a tough season this year. I will say this, and this is no shot at any coach or any player. I was always taught that you have to honor the game of football. And I think any NFL player understands that, that this is your profession. And the way you play, regardless of what the score is, what the situation is, you never give in to – and I hate when people say, well, they quit. I don't know. I didn't see that. This was a tough football game. This game was not a blowout. No one laid down. I mean, no. These players are playing. They played now. Sometimes, you make mistakes and, it's an emotional game. Sometimes your emotions get down. But far as walking on the field, because, see, when you say that, you're saying the players aren't playing for each other. And that's the one thing I've learned when I became a professional football player. When I broke that huddle, I never missed a game. I never missed a practice. I never missed a start in my career with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I understood something. I was playing for my teammates. I was going to play for my teammates. They needed to know that, hey, whatever I had, I'm playing for you guys. Most 99% of them players get that. That's part of the deal. You sign on for that. Doesn't matter how many you won, how many you're trying to win, how many you lost. That's part of being a professional football player, period. Now, when a coach makes a decision, that's not in your hand. That's not in your hand. You don't get to make those decisions. The coach makes the decision. And why coach made that decision? He knows. Only he knows. And I'm not going to second guess what he did. But when I'm hearing that the players like, no. The game that I was watching on television, them players didn't tank. Them Philadelphia Eagles players did not play hard. I didn't see that.
I agree with you on that front, but some lesser players, backup players, were in the game when other players had started, and that's why the question came up whether they gave their best effort to win. The players did. Did the coach in this situation decide, I'm not going to have my best players out there? That's why it became such a cause celeb. Reports today that maybe Doug Peterson isn't a given to come back. Reports were last week prior to the game, it looks like Doug Peterson's going to be back, and then he handled the last game the way he did. But now this week, it isn't a done deal that Doug Peterson is coming back. If Jeff Lurie put a call into Herman Edwards and said, would you have interest in returning to the National Football League for coaching purposes, what would your response be?
That this will be my last job right here at Arizona State. I'm good right here. I'm trying to build a program and hopefully get it in a situation where when I leave here, I turn it over to Antonio Pierce and he becomes the head coach and I've done something right for this university and for all those involved that allowed me to be the head coach here.
Did the coronavirus in any way, shape, or form affect your timeline of thinking as to how much more coaching you're going to do out there in the desert?
No, not at all. I'm going to, just keep coaching. Coaching is all about this, and I've always said this. You got to walk into the building with energy, and when you don't have any energy anymore, it's time to get out.
No. there was something.
Still got a lot of energy.
No one ever questioned about Herman Edwards when he was a coach that the energy wasn't there. It always has been. I can still hear it in your voice. It still is today. Hey, have a good time doing what you're doing on Monday night. We'll find you on whatever ESPN platform you're on. You just doing it from home or are you flying somewhere?
I'm going to be in my office. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, so you're zooming in with other officials to comment on the championship
game. I'm zooming in with the officials. This is going to be a heck of a deal.
Coach,
have some fun with this one now.
Coach,
John
great.
Terry is a guy from the NFL, and, you know, it's funny because he actually did a couple of my games when I was coaching in the NFL, so it's kind of nice to talk to him again.
That's a good thing. If he didn't throw too many flags on you, then you guys will, I'm sure, work together for great on Monday night. Coach, good stuff. I appreciate you carving out a couple minutes for me today. We will certainly be in touch again down the line. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.